Open your Bibles. Well, before you open your Bibles, let me give you a little test, okay? Tony's trying to put me to test on my marriage. He didn't know I knew how many years I'd been married. He thought I didn't know, didn't you, Tony? Huh? No, I knew. 38 years, 6 months, 14 days, and 3 hours. But but anyway... I'm kidding you. Okay. But anyway, boy, am I digging myself in a hole. 1 meal per meal. Okay. I'm glad I'm not taking the test. Amen. How many of you know what Philippians 3:13 says? Just lift your hand up. Don't say it out loud. Anybody know Philippians 3:13? I see your hand. Philippians 3:13. We quote it a lot. You young people don't know what it is? Brady, I thought for sure you know. Fourth thing. What did I say? 4:13. I'm sorry. Well, I know what 3:13 is too. 3:13 is where... He says he pressed on toward the mark of the prize of high calling of God. It's one thing I do. But in 4:13, how many of you know 4:13? Okay, what is 4:13? What does it say? Okay, I can do all things through Christ with strength. What does that mean? Tonight I want to look at that verse and see what it means, okay? Let's look a little bit at it, okay? Begin reading with me in Philippians chapter 4. I want to read a few verses all around it. You know, when you look at a verse, it's important that you do a couple of things. In Bible study, it's always important that you do this. You know, you can take a verse and bring a truth or two out of it, and that's fine. But when you really study a verse and you want to try to understand what God's saying in that, then you need to look at a couple of things about it. You need to look at who it is written to, who's writing it, when they're writing it, what's going on. You also need to look and see what the context around it is about. You also need to realize this. No scripture in the Bible is going to contradict another scripture. If there seems to be two contradicting scriptures, then you're misinterpreting one of the two scriptures. You're not understanding what the teaching is in it. And not only is it good to be able to know and read the Bible, but it's even better when we understand the Bible and when we understand what it's trying to tell us. Let's look just a few moments and let's begin reading in verse 6. It says, be careful. The word careful there, you're going to see the word careful in a couple places, and they're actually two different words that was translated. And the careful there means what we would consider something along the idea of being anxious. In other words, you get nervous and anxious about something. It says, be careful for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, knows that. Prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. In other words, don't come to God bullying God and mad at God and fuming at God because of something going on in your life and making demands with God. What you do is you come thanking God that he has blessed you with what you've got. And then you let your prayers and petitions be made known. The Bible says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. The Bible also says in Thessalonians, he says, in everything, giving thanks to the Lord, which is the will of God. And in other words, it's the will of God that you give thanks for things, everything. And God doesn't want you coming and whining and coming and being ungrateful. When you come to God, you give him glory by being thankful. You recognize. That's what tithing's all about. And by the way, I appreciate it. I appreciate your reception of people that come through the church. I appreciate your reception of missionaries when they come through. Brother Jolly, many of you enjoyed him. Did you enjoy him the other night? I enjoyed him being with us, but you know, we were such a blessing to him. Those keychains that was made out of that wood, and the offering both, he ended up gathering between $900 and $1,000. And that's a blessing. That blessed him. That helped him tremendously. And sometimes we don't realize, and sometimes I look at a little small church and wonder where it all comes from, but God makes it happen. Paul's dealing with sort of the same issue here. We'll see in just a moment. But let's go on. It says, be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good to report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, now notice that little word learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, there's that word careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And there, the word careful means that they were full of care. In other words, they had a lot of care for Paul. It goes on and says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. There's that word learned again. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, and by the way, where the church of Philippi was, and it was in Macedonia, he said, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, let me go back and let's think about just a few moments. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthened me. Now, listen to me just a few moments and pay attention. This is a good verse. It's a good verse to learn. Sometimes I know we even use it over at school when they say, well, I can't. We say, well, you can do all things. But there are some things that's outside your limits. You cannot go run a marathon when you don't train for that marathon. Now, there is a time when God moved upon Elijah, and he was able to outrun Ahab's chariots. But that was a miracle that God did in Elijah's life. But this does not mean that God's going to let you do things. Somebody said, well, I'm here and I can't touch a net, but I believe and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so I believe I can just dunk the basketball. Well, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you're able to do things outside of your ability to that extent. In other words, things that you do not work toward, things that you do not train in. The thing that we don't get with God is God teaches us that we are to work for what we get. Not gamble, but work. Not depend upon somebody else to give it to us, but work. We are to work. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote to one, he said, you don't work, don't eat. And so therefore, sometimes people says, and we get this all the time, people coming around here bumming churches. Now listen to me. Somebody said, well, God says feed the poor. He sure does. But he does not say feed cons. I cannot tell you how many people I've had come here and say they didn't have anything, hadn't ate for days, and come find out five churches down the road just gave them money and just gave them food. They just play con game. I've even found stones stacked outside by their mailbox. And that's a little trick that they do sometimes. They stack stones there if you give. So the next one know that you'll give to them too. And they just come to give. God doesn't want us to be stupid with God's money. He doesn't want us just throw it out the window. He doesn't want us to support drugs and alcohol and those type of things either. He wants us to be wise. Amen. And so therefore, whenever we give of need, we try to know that there is a need. If there is a legitimate need, I don't mind. There's things in the community sometimes we've given to that we knew there were legitimate needs. There's sometimes things in the church that we give to that we know are legitimate needs. But God doesn't want us to be foolish. God expects us to work. He expects us to train. You want something, you got to work for it. You young people need to learn to work for it. We've grown up in a society this time that we believe, and be honest with you, the last eight years has been pushing upon the young people of this country that you deserve it. You deserve what everybody else has worked for. That's not God's way. And so God, and listen, can I say something else? There's no pride in that. You don't have any pride in that. When you work of something, you can sit there and you look at it and say, you know, I worked for that. And you watch a garden grow, there's great joy in that. There's great joy in that, being able to look and see something that your hands have prepared and your hands have done. And so here, Paul says, and he's talking about, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. How does that apply? What is the all things? Look back in your Bible just a moment and notice a couple things. Now remember, and let me give you a little setting. Paul, when he wrote this, was in a Roman prison. You hear me? He was in prison. Every day, he did not know if that would be the day that his execution would come. You got that? Every day, he didn't know if they were going to come and say, listen, tomorrow we're going to cut your head off. He was sitting there. And here he says, don't be anxious about anything. That's amazing, isn't it? And said also to be thankful. And so here, he's sitting here, and it would have been awful easy for him to have been upset. He hadn't done nothing but preach the gospel, and here he was in prison, fixing to get the death sentence. It'd been easy for him to be upset at God. It'd been easy for him to lost hope, have no joy. But that's not what we just got through reading, is it? Isn't it amazing what we just got through reading? And so let me say this. When our situation differs a little bit, and we're going through some tough times, and sometimes we go through some tough times. Sometimes we go through some valleys. Sometimes we've experienced some things that's been really hurtful. But when we go through them, let us learn here from Paul that we don't have to react by getting upset, losing faith, losing hope, can't sleep at night, got to have sleeping pills, got to have nerve pills, got to do this, got to do that. We don't have to react that way, folks. Paul said, I didn't have to react this way. So when we look at here, notice what he says. We'll skip down to verse 10 and pick up and just lay a little groundwork for verse number 13. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again. Now, what's he talking about? What he's talking about is Paul loved this church, and this church loved Paul. This church wanted to help Paul every way they can. When you go back and you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you find out that this church was in poverty. It was a church that didn't have a lot of money. But if you notice over there in verse number 15, Paul reminded them, he said, listen, when I was in Macedonia and I needed some help, he said, the only one that helped me was you all. Now listen to me, pay attention now. The only one that helped me was you. The church that probably was least able to help him, helped him. You know, sometimes I get people that they get upset because when missionaries and stuff come through, I like to help them. I like to help evangelists. I like to help preachers that's out here preaching the gospel, that's really trying to do work. I really like to help them because I know there's some places that go that they don't. I mean, Brother Jolly, just take him for instance. 19 years he's been there, faithfully serving on the mission field. And you know, he'll call me, he'll say, Brother, can you find me a church, help me find a church? Because most of the time when they call us places, he said, I'm a missionary, I'd like to come present my work. Sorry, we can't have you. Oh, we don't take in no missionaries. No, we don't do missions. Can you imagine how upsetting that gets sometimes? But thank God for some of those that said, yeah, brother, we'll try to work you in. And it's an encouragement. And Paul said, Philippian church, said, you've been an encouragement to me. Says, I remember when nobody else, when I was in Macedonia, and I was there and I was trying to preach and establish churches and stuff, the only one who helped me was you. But what happened was they'd gotten positioned themselves where they couldn't help. And now, once again, here he's in Roman prison, and they sent something, according to verse number 18, by Epaphroditus, and he brought the stuff to them, and he tells them, he says, but I have all, and abounding I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing God. In other words, he said, I'm so thankful that you were able to give me something again. Not because he was selfish, not because he wanted that, but notice why. He says in verse 16, he says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once again to my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired what? Can I tell you what y'all did Wednesday night? Wednesday night, you got fruit for the church here. Did you know that? You got fruit for yourself. Don't ever underestimate. Now, did you hear him? Five churches have been established over in the Philippines just by him. Five churches. Probably seen several hundred people. I was looking at Brother Palmer's thing, and he said 20 was saved in China last year. 20 souls. You say, that's not many. That's 20 more than not going to hell. That's our fruit. Some places, Brother Matthew Henry in India has established over 200 churches. Him and his father-in-law. They have also translated in I think four dialects the Bible. And you know, there's many hundreds of dialects in India. And they've translated the whole Bible in four different dialects. They've written several books and so forth. They started several Bible colleges, all in India. That's your fruit. When they come and we ask to give, we don't ask it because they desire a gift. I desire fruit for you and for me. I'm laying something up in heaven. There's a lot of areas I fell in, but you know what? I can honestly say when missionaries and people like that come through here, my heart is full. And I want to do what I can to help them out. I want to be as good to them as I possibly can. You say, well, what if one of them misuses the funds? That's on them. I try to be wise in who I put before the church. And sometimes you can't, not knowing some of them that comes through. You have to take their pastor's word and you got to try to get a discernment about it. But notice Paul said, he said in verse 10, he said, I rejoice now that you're able to do it again because you're able to flourish again and you send me something. He said, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, he said, the times when you wasn't sending something, you really cared for me, and I understood that. He said, I didn't want you to feel bad because you couldn't send me something, because I knew you cared for me. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, he said, what I'm asking for is not because I'm greedy. He said, I'm not greedy, and I'm not looking for something that you have. And the Lord had provided, and you don't hear him complaining. We don't always have the things we want, but you have to admit, God's blessing is a lot more than what we deserve. And if you can't admit that tonight, there's something wrong with you. You say, well, preacher, I want this. Can I ask you this? If you got more, what would you do with it? I've had people tell me this, seriously. Preacher, if God would give me a job making more money, I'd start tithing. I told them, I said, if you don't do it with little, you're not going to do it a lot. But look on. He says in verse 12, he says, I know both how to abase, I know how to abound. In other words, what he's saying is, he said, I've been there. I've done that. I know exactly how to do it. And he said, you know, I have learned. In verse 11, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Now notice the word learned. Somebody say, well, we just got to be content. Listen to me. Contentment is not something that you are just. You learn it through a process of things to be content. You learn through hardships to be content. Hardships will make you thankful to the Lord. Once you go through a hardship, you learn to be thankful for what you have. When you've lost something, you appreciate when God gives you something back. So Paul says, I've learned. I've gone through a process. He didn't say, why me? And he realized that it was not everything that he may want, but he learned in whatsoever state he was to be content. Now that's easier said than done. And it takes a learning process. It takes prayer. If you're going to do that, you got to learn to be prayerful if you're going to be content. Now listen to me. You have to learn to be patient. You have to learn to persevere. Not give up. Push your way through it. Now, he says in verse 12 again, he said, I know both how to abase and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He said, I've seen it both. He'd sit in prison cells, didn't have a coat, cold, hungry, didn't have a light, didn't have his books, and he sat in prison cells, eating bread, old stale bread, drinking old nasty water. He said, I've been there. I've also sat at tables and had just feast. I've been full. I've been empty. He goes on. He says, both to abound and to suffer need. Now notice this. Then comes that famous verse. I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengtheneth me. That verse is not pertaining to running a race. It's not pertaining to dunking a basketball. It's not pertaining to making $1 million. I heard one guy said, I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so therefore I think God can make me a millionaire. Not what the verse is talking about at all. It's talking about when you train yourself and you learn and you have prayer and patience and perseverance in times that you've gone through issues, you learn that you can do all things, that God's grace will be there and you can get through. I have seen people tell me, I can't go through this. It tells me that they were not preparing themselves. They did not get to the point. And I know sometimes we feel that way, but what Paul said is this. He said, I have trained myself to be content when it's good and when it's bad. And I have trained myself, so therefore, whatever things I face, I can do it. Because I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens me. There's no poor testimony than when a Christian quits. As your days, so shall your strength be. For my grace is sufficient. God will give you the grace to endure. And there will be things that we will face. There will be issues that we... And I'm sure each of us in times in our flesh... Remember a while back I was preaching about the flesh and the spirit and the soul caught in the middle? There's times when the flesh has control of us that we want to quit. I've been there. But Paul said, listen, I have to beat my flesh every morning I get up. First thing I do is I go and fight with my flesh. I beat it down, and he said, I've learned that I can do all these things. Then he goes on through, and he talks about how that this church had supplied his needs and how once again this guy had brought this to him, and it was such a sweet-smelling gift at such a time that it just blessed his soul. And then look in verse 19. Again, he promised that God would supply all their needs according to his riches.
Amen.
Now think about that. Again, this pertains to the context of what we're reading. I can tell you this. This little church, there's a lot of things that we probably don't do like we need to do. I think we should visit better, visit more, witness more, invite more. But I'll tell you this. Those letters on the board back there is a sweet smelling savor of this church. And I'll tell you this. Not many people come through this church without telling me as a pastor, preacher, you got something special with the love of the people down there. Besides that, I couldn't believe how good that you all gave to me. But the reason why I do that is this, for several reasons. But one is this, I have God's promise that whatever we need as a church, He will provide. And I'll tell you this, He has provided. I mean, it's just like the other day, some Brother Sisson come along. And Brother Sisson and Sister Sisson has been in and out of hospitals, both of them. Bills are mounting up. He's not been able to preach. Places, he used to go to North Carolina and preach. He can't travel and preach right now. And I know he's got resources. He could sell and do certain things. But when he came the other day, I told Brother Rick, I said, Brother Rick, take an offering up for him. And I said, round it off at $1,000.
I said, God just laid it on my heart that he needed help. And Brother Sisson come back later on and told me, he said, you don't know how much I needed that. But God laid it on my heart. And then it was just a week or two later, Chris and I went and we lease a car and we traded our car in to get a different one because every 3 years we traded in. And the guy comes in there and he says, he tells the guy that we're buying from, he says, tell him I'm going to write him a check for the ministry down there. And so I went and we was at Cracker Barrel eating breakfast. And the guy sold his car. It was Gary Jr. Some of you know him. He come over. He said, by the way, my boss left you a check. And he wanted to give a ministry to the school, a ministry to the church. And I went to get the check, and it was for $2,000. $1,000 for the church and $1,000 for the school. God put the $1,000 right back in. And he gave it because I bought a car there. He said, I just want to give you something because you bought some cars here. And I thought, that's how God works. And we didn't miss it. And it was such a blessing. And I've seen that time and time and time and time again. So don't ever underestimate, as we was preaching this morning, don't underestimate the faithfulness of God. But you've got to put it in context. Now, had we gave and we put on the front page and had our picture made, given a check to somebody, we might have some praise down here, but we won't have any praise. And I'm not saying this to make praise for nothing. I'm telling you, as a church, this is your fruit. Because I want you to be encouraged and understand that God works in mysterious ways. Amen. And he's able to do things just like he said he was. And so therefore, we learn in studying the passages that these verses like this, that some people runs out here and abuses and misuses and wonder why it didn't come to play. When you use them in context, God's right there providing your needs and meeting everything that you need to do. And he's able to do it time and time and time and time and time again. Amen. And so that's just the goodness of God. And we're thankful for that. Amen. And, I'll give you another example. One more example, and I'll quit. It may be a little thing to you, but it's not to us. We had a gym, and there were some issues of whether we're going to be able to use the gym or not. And later on, we was borrowing from church, and they decided for us to go ahead and use it. But we didn't know that, and they made a policy that everybody's got to use it. And by the way, let me just stop and say this while I'm here. I don't blame them at all, because when you have a facility, and we've got a facility right over here, and I want all you members to listen to me. We got a facility right over here, Fellowship Hall. Don't mind a bit. It's all of ours. Don't mind a bit for you using it. But if you're going to use it, and the church is good enough to open the door and let you use it, there's a list on the wall to do. You empty the trash, you mop the floor, you sweep the floor, you do the things that need to be done. And you make sure you leave it clean just like you found it. You hear me? That's only being a good steward. If not, then it might come to a point where we can't do that. Because those buildings are too hard to replace. That one cost us $240,000 to put back in there. And we can't afford to put those things up just because people abuse us. Sometimes the kids gets aggravated at me because I don't let them jump up on the counters, and I tell them get off the desk. I tell them not to stand in the chairs, not to jump, not to run, not to play ball, not to do this. And they think, boy, all that preacher does is just tell me don't. But we paid a lot of money to get that facility. And if we just let everybody do what they want to do, it wouldn't have it. And from what I understand, there was having issues in there. But what I started to say is this. The day that we lost that, and it's very hard to find a gym, the Lord provided another one that same day. And not only that, the woman, it was a private gym. The woman said, I'd love to have somebody come use it. Nobody used my gym. I'd love to have somebody come use it. It's a blessing to have somebody come and want to use it. Use it anytime you want to use it. Now, wasn't that a blessing? In the same way when we lost ours, Rocky Hollow up here at Somerset opened the door, and they loved to have us up there. Those staff brags on their kids to everybody. They tell everybody around what good kids we have. They brag on them to me all the time. And they say, we'd love to have your kids anytime they want to come, you let them come. Because some of them goes up there when I'm not around, and they act the same way as when I'm there with them. And sometimes some of the boys said, well, I tell them, don't bounce the ball on the wall. Don't do this, don't do that. I want to take care of the facility. It's our responsibility to do that. So I want you to understand that it's just these things that we find that God provides. When we are doing faithful and we are trying to help spread the gospel. And by the way, friends, I'll end with this. I do not understand how in the world anybody can get in their mind and concept that they can be faithful to the Great Commission that's given to the churches without utilizing foreign missionaries. How are we to reach the world? Are you going? Well, hopefully maybe one of you might go, but all of you not going. How do we get fruit? We get fruit by all those souls that saved back there on the wall. And being a part of sending $50, $75 here or there each month and being faithful. And you know the thing, that the missionaries are thankful for? They come here, Brother Jolly come. He said, 19 years. You know the first time I met Brother Jolly and he come through this church, you know what this church did for him? He was fixing to get married. He was lovesick. Any of you remember when he first come through? He was lovesick. Hadn't seen his fiancée. Wanted to get married. He didn't have money to buy him a ticket. The churches had not provided enough money to even give him a ticket back home. He didn't have enough money to get home. He was stuck in the States. Cost $700. We took him up a love offering here that Sunday morning, $795. Bought him a ticket. He went home, got married in March. He showed me his prayer card, got his wife, his two boys, and a girl. He said, preacher, that family's because of you all. But for 19 years, every month, him and many other missionaries go to the mailbox and our check is waiting for them. And they're thankful for that. Amen. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for having a heart, because it will be for your fruit. And we can always do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. Stand if you would.
Page 154.